This is Radio Superior 1948, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1948. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the land of beautiful lakes. It's Saturday, October 30th, 1948. This is Jack McKenna saying, the hunting season is when the dog is the center of attraction.
Next time we have a grape line, I'm going to complain about your puns.
I prefer to call them catchy witticisms. Lou Martin has the 6 o'clock news and the latest on the presidential race. Rapid Ray is in with the sporting news. And Colonel Raffaele talks about paganism gripping the United States.
Is he for or against it?
Yeah, you're safe on that one, Lou. You've never paganized. I mean, you do all your own writing. Even in school, you never copied anybody.
Not plagiarism. Paganism, as in godlessness.
Oh, well, you're okay on that, too.
I should hope so.
The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by the Douglas County Republican Party, urging you to vote straight Republican ticket, including Byron Osby for Assembly and William Sims for Sheriff. Good evening, Lou.
Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. Polls show that Governor Dewey, leading President Truman by a large lead, 3 days before the election. The communists take Moncton and China, and a curfew is set for Stuttgart. We begin our World Shortwave Radio Report from Washington.
This is the nation's capital, Lyle C. Wilson, United Press. Polls are leaning heavily in Governor Thomas Dewey's favor as the campaign nears its close, but President Truman said in a New York speech Friday that voters are going to throw the Gallup polls right into the ash can. Earlier, Democratic National Chairman J. Howard McGrath urged poll taker George Gallup to adjust his election surveys so that, as he put it, the voters know the truth. McGrath says an advantage for Mr. Truman instead of Mr. Dewey would be shown if Gallup poll results were adjusted in line with error percentages shown in the past two presidential elections. McGrath made a similar request to Archibald Crosley, director of the Crosley poll. He says an adjustment to allow for error percentages would show Mr. Truman needs only slight gains in New York and Maryland to win. There was no immediate comment from Crosley, but Gallup said, quoting now, the only answer to Mr. McGrath will come on Tuesday, unquote. Gallup released his semi-final roundup of the nation yesterday, showing Dewey ahead in 31 states with substantial leads in 19, and Mr. Truman out in front in 10 states and slightly ahead in 4 others. Fortune magazine last September 22nd said Dewey was leading President Truman by the almost unbeatable margin of 44% to 31%, as shown by a poll conducted by Elmo Roper. The magazine said it planned no more surveys unless some development of outstanding importance occurred because the September figures were so conclusive. In Washington, this is Lyle C. Wilson calling China. Come in, Nanking.
This is China, Daryl Berrigan in Nanking. Communist troops fell upon Mukden, Manchuria's greatest city, and wrested it from the armies of Chiang Kai-shek today. Reports from the battlefront say the Reds are in complete control of Mukden, which is the site of China's largest arsenal. Sources here considered it unlikely that many of the 150,000 nationalist troops managed to escape Red forces who held the corridor to Xinjiang, 125 miles south of Mukden. Large forces on both sides have been engaged in a seesaw battle over the past 3 days in the Mukden area. More than 400,000 men were reported committed to battle. The national government has been plagued by large-scale desertions. They consider it likely some of those in the 12 divisions the communists say they captured deserted. Chiang Kai-shek flew here from the field headquarters in Peiping, where he had been directing operations since October 15. The national capital was stunned by Chiang's failure to recoup his sagging military fortunes in the north, and many high Chinese and foreign sources agree the Chinese civil war has been decided. The fighting may continue for months, but they say efforts to defeat the communists on a national scale have ended, killed by the spiritless, tired government armies, which are no longer willing to resist, much less attack. In Nanking, this is Daryl Berrigan, calling Germany. Come in, Stuttgart.
This is Stuttgart, Germany. Stan Turner reporting. The U.S. military government today imposed a curfew and banned open-air meetings here. The action followed Thursday's riots in which a German crowd clashed with American soldiers for the first time since the war ended. Beginning tonight, residents of Stuttgart will be required to keep off the streets from 9 p.m. to 4 a.m. The order was issued by military governor of Württemberg-Baden, Charles La Follette, after a conference in Frankfurt with American occupation commander General Lucius Clay. La Follette's proclamation charged Stuttgart's Lord Mayor Arnulf Klett with enforcing the curfew. The proclamation reimposed restrictions that prevailed at the close of the war. In Stuttgart, this is Stan Turner.
The United Nations has ordered Israel and Arab troops to cease firing in the northern front of the Holy Land today. A UN spokesman in Haifa today reports Israeli forces attacked following an aerial bombardment. The planes dropped leaflets proclaiming the attack is to liberate Palestine. UN truce leader William Riley set up a truce for noon, but both the Arabs and the Israelis demanded guarantees the other side would observe the ceasefire. A warm welcome awaits 813 displaced persons who reached the Statue of Liberty today in New York. Jewish survivors of slave labor and concentration camps arrived this afternoon on board the Army transport General Black. The DPs are the first of 205,000 to arrive in the United States under the Displaced Persons Act. Steamboat whistles and foghorns blew as city fireboats sprayed streams of water as the General Black passed Lady Liberty. The refugees left Bremerhaven 9 days ago. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:08. Jack McKenna has these words from our sponsor.
Sponsors, we have two of them. It's an equal time kind of thing, you know. Let's put Douglas County in the Republican column on Tuesday. Vote for Thomas E. Dewey, Earl Warren, Alvin E. Okonski, all of them and more. Now, a word from the Democrats.
Vote for Dan Hone, an honest candidate. Vote Democratic. Dan says Okonski is not a friend of labor. Vote Democratic, I say. Lou?
You can be a rather disturbing person sometimes. The area's power crisis continues as the State Public Service Commission orders emergency action. Carl Kasperson has more.
Superior Water, Light, and Power Company has ordered to continue its voluntary emergency electric power cutting program by the Public Service Commission yesterday, Lou. The PSC also ordered a hearing to be held November 9th at City Hall to determine if more emergency power restrictions are needed. Along with the authority to continue its voluntary reduction program, the PSC gave the Superior Water, Light, and Power Company authority to disconnect any customer who intentionally fails to comply with the emergency order. Superior Water, Light, and Power Company President Howard Underhill says city merchants are cooperating 100% in the reduction program caused by the power emergency caused by the drought. The PSC order will become effective Monday. If the power company finds it isn't reducing the power load enough to reduce about 20% from electricity normally used, it will have to take more drastic steps. The electric power emergency grows out of the lack of rain in the Head of the Lakes area during the last few months. Water reservoirs used to generate power have been reduced below efficient levels, and steam generating units have been taxed. The effect of the war on a program of installing additional generating machinery is part of the reason for this emergency. A program had been outlined to increase the generation for this area during the war, but a lack of labor and material made it impossible, Lou.
Thank you, Carl Kasperson. Lifting of hunting and trapping ban imposed by Governor Rennebaum because of the drought conditions hinges on the amount of rainfall the region gets in the next few days. That according to State Senator Arthur Lenroot Jr. He says the hunting ban will not be lifted unless the ground gets a good soaking rain. It's believed by the governor that at least 2 or 3 days of heavy rains are needed to erase the fire danger. The drought has set a record for Superior. This has been one of the longest, if not the longest, period in history that men in the construction trade have been able to work outside without loss of time due to rain. Superior Police Chief Arthur Buchanan and Douglas County Sheriff William Sims have their offices on alert tonight for Halloween. A 10 o'clock curfew has been set for kids 18 and under. The exception is for youths at the Tri-High Club at the Superior Civic Center, where a big Halloween bash is set. City officials in Mellon are cracking down on destruction and vandalism by youths over Halloween and Gate Night. Police Chief Garrett Bashong says parents will be held responsible for any boy or girl found guilty of vandalism. Chief Bashong says that parents will have to appear in court with their youngsters, pay a $5 fine, and make restitution. Soaping and waxing windows is vandalism. Because of destruction last year, children in Mellon were to be punished with no parties this Halloween. For years, the Blue Hat Club put on a big party, but damage to Blue Hatters caused them to give up the party. However, a Mellon PTA says it will carry on the tradition by holding a big party anyway, Jack.
You mean holding on to the tradition of wreckage?
Yes, that's what I mean. The PTA wants to promote vandalism. It's a new educational emphasis.
Sheesh. Lou Martin, ladies and gentlemen, the most sarcastic newsman in town. Well, let's check the forecast for this Saturday night, October 30th, 1948. Slightly cooler tonight and mostly cloudy. Tonight's low will be 44 degrees, with a high tomorrow of 60. And it's music time. Here's Johnny Mercer and Personality on the Martin and McKenna Halloween Show.
When Madame Pompadour was on a ballroom floor, said all the gentlemen, obviously, the madam has the cutest personality. And think of all the books about Du Barry's looks. What was it made of? The toast of Paris. She had a well-developed personality.
What did Romeo see in Juliet, or Pierrot in Pierrette, or Jupiter in Juno?
And when Salome danced and had the boys in trance, no doubt it must have been easy to see that she knew how to use her personality.
Well, and never sit on a boss's settee unless she's got a perfect personality. A girl can get somewhere in spite of stringy hair or even just a bit bored at the knees if she can show a faultless personality.
Why, a certain girl's offered certain things, like sable coats and wedding rings, by men who wear their spats right.
That's right. So don't you say I'm smart and have the kindest heart. Oh, what a wonderful sister I'd be.
Just tell me how you like my
personality.
Baby, you've got the cutest
personality.
personality.
Johnny Mercer's big hit personality on station KUWS. Hiya, Lou. What you got for us?
Superior Fire Chief Olaf Sorensen recommends that all people see Going to Blazes.
Well, that's surprisingly rude for the chief.
It isn't the devil's blazes, it's fire blazes. It's a movie made by MGM about fire prevention. It shows real fires across the United States, and it's playing at the Palace. Chief Sorensen says it could save lives and homes.
Chief Jack here recommends people also head on over to Fennell's Bar in Lake Nabagaman. Fennell's has that new modern game that's sweeping the country. It's called Shuffleboard.
I suppose you know how to play the new game.
Oh, yeah. You take a couple of boards, shuffle along, then see who finishes first.
So you have no idea what Shuffleboard is?
Not a clue. But they know at Fennell's Bar. Let's head on down to the House of Blue Lights. Here's the Freddie Slack Orchestra with vocals by Don Ray and Ella Mae Morse on the Martin and McKenna Shuffle Up to Fennell Show.
Well, what you say, baby? You look ready as Mr. Freddie this black. How about you and me going spinning at the track?
What's that, homie? If you think I'm going dancing on a dime, your clock is ticking on the wrong time.
Well, what's your pleasure, treasure? You call the plays, I'll dig the ways.
Hey, Daddy-O, I'm not so crude as to drop my mood on a square from way back. I'm in there and have to dig life with Father, and I mean Father Slack.
Well, baby, your play gives my wig a solid flip. You snap the whip, I'll make the trip.
Well, lace up your boots and we'll broom on down to a knocked-out shack on the edge of town. There's an 8-feet combo that just won't quit. Keep walking till you see a blue light lit. Fall in there and we'll see some sights at the House of Blue Lights. There's fryers and broilers and Detroit barbecue ribs. But the treat of the treats is when they serve you those fine.
Freddie Slack and the House of Blue Lights. Hey, Joe, you're limping.
Yeah, just following doctor's orders.
Goodness, Joe. Well, what did the doctor say?
I said, Doc, I twisted my ankle. What should I do? He says, limp.
That old joke is courtesy of KUWS chief engineer in charge, Joe Gardonio, who's butting in during entertainment editor Harriet Farig's segment.
Butting in? I'm no Budinsky, bub. This is important stuff or I wouldn't be here right here and now. This is a public safety matter that must be addressed immediately.
Right after Harriet tells us what's playing at the movie houses. You look wonderful this evening, Harriet.
Thank you, Louis. And you have a nice sweater. some chilling movies are playing at the Princess Theater in a Halloween double feature.
I love scary movies, as long as I don't have to go alone.
Richard Arlen and Peggy Stewart star in The Phantom Speaks. And Grant Withers is in The Coat Chiller, The Vampire's Ghost, plus a Three Stooges comedy.
Larry Moe and Curly will make things not so scary.
For those in the cowboy mood, Jack Carson and Dennis Morgan star in Two Guys from Texas at the Palace. It's all Technicolor Week at the Palace, so you can see the movie in natural color.
I wonder what Lou's sweater looks like in Technicolor.
Stop picking on my sweater.
People's Theater is showing a Gene Autry film called Twilight of the Rio Grande, and they have highlights of the L.A. Rams-Chicago Bears pro football game. You know, Louis, I don't like to go to scary movies alone either.
If you don't mind going with a guy who wears a sweater.
I don't mind.
Oh, me neither. So, I guess it's a foursome.
Well, that's not exactly what I had in mind.
The more the merrier, I always say. Here's Russ Morgan and his orchestra with So Sorry on the scary... Martin and McKenna Show.
Don't do that. That gives me the creeps.
So tired of waiting for you. So tired of longing for you. Tired of waiting, saving my love for you. So tired of dreaming daydreams. So tired of only play schemes. Why don't you call me? Call me tonight, my dear. Tell me that your thoughts are all of me, sweetheart. All day long I wonder why we're far apart. So tired of dreaming of you. So tired of waiting for you. But though I'm tired, I'll wait forever, dear.
Russ Morgan and So Sorry on KUWS.
Let me introduce Colonel Joe Raffaele, who has what he says is an important message.
What do you mean, says? If the colonel has a message, it's always important.
Wait a second. I've got an important message, too. Now, how come...
Because I'm talking about God, that's why. This country's going to H-E-you-know-what in a handbasket. And it's all your fault, McCorkle and McKenna.
What a shocker.
I was reading the other day what two Catholic men of the cloth were saying, and it makes sense. They called it the pernicious influence of movies, magazines, newspapers. Snort, if you will. Snort like the devil himself. They called the pernicious influence of movies, magazines, and newspapers. Simply put, paganism. Paganism is gripping our great God-fearing country. Sex, love, confession magazines all over the place, even in respectable places.
Oh, goodness.
I'm sorry, ma'am, but the colonel's got to tell it like he sees it. I'm talking about Ladies Home Journal, Collier's, Good Housekeeping, McCall's. Now, this bishop, now, he was from Fort Wayne. He says, Bishop Wayne from the fort. The bishop from Fort Wayne says, let's see, it says here, here it is. Our country has lost its Christian character and is more pagan than the paganism of antiques. Now, the good bishop says most of this is big city stuff. That's where the filthy magazine racks, the big movie houses and taverns and gambling halls are. And even Oscar-winning movies, the best years of our lives, treat divorce flippantly. Too much hugging and lovey-dovey in movies. Too much of that mush has taken place in cars since the war ended.
Steamy goings-on steaming up the windows, eh, Colonel?
So don't buy those smutty magazines with those love story serials. Don't go to those trashy movies. Go see a good scary movie with blood and guts and God-fearing stuff like that.
Looks like we'll have a fifth along for the movies tonight, Harriet.
We'll need a fifth of something if the Colonel comes along.
That kind of smut mouth is what I'm talking about.
Colonel Joe Raffaele with One Man's Opinion, Jack.
Here's Harry James and his orchestra with a smutty number by Pretty Kitty Callan. And it's been a long, long time on the Martin and McKenna Halloweeny Show. Harry James and Pretty Kitty Gallen, and it's been a long, long time on Station KUWS. Okay, Joe, what's so doggone important?
The light on the top of the transmitter tower is out, and if I don't replace the bulb, we'll be in direct violation of FCC rules. And as long as that light is out, some plane might go crashing into our tower. Now, we're talking a matter of life and death here, people.
Don't look at me. I'm not climbing up that tower.
Coward. Now, you can count me out, too. The Colonel and Heights don't get along too well.
My sweater might get caught on something on the way up.
Well, a fine bunch you are, afraid to go up a little 500-foot tower.
Oh, sheesh. That's all right, boys. I've already fixed it. I knew Joe was hurt, so I took care of it. It was rather exhilarating.
What a woman. I'll bet you don't even scream at scary movies with science fiction and stuff.
You engineers are a weird, weird bunch. You babble about things like space travel and ray guns. And, well, it kind of sounds pagan.
What?
This should be interesting.
In an embarrassing way.
Pagan? Since when is science pagan?
Since Darwin and all those other mad scientists, that's who.
What's the guy who's married to Blondie got to do with anything? And since when? Oh, that's Dagwood.
That's Dagwood.
Well, mad scientists, when are scientists mad? Since when?
Since wacky plans for robots and traveling to the moon for cheese mining, Guardianio.
Cheese mining? There's no cheese on the moon.
Well, that's easy for you to say.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I say yeah.
Oh, stop it, boys, this instant.
There'll be no arguing about paganism on Halloween.
But Halloween is a...
Lulu, Harry, it's right. Here we are, grown men, arguing like that.
Sorry, Miss Fargate, you're right. It's not right to talk about such things on Halloween.
By the way, nice pumpkin earrings are here.
Very Halloweenish. Unlike Lou, who is wearing one of his 5 sweaters.
Newsmen don't dress for Halloween.
So, what are you going tonight as there, Skinny?
A mad scientist.
That's it, folks. Stay tuned for Gene Autry, followed by Amos and Andy, and then Sam Spade. We'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial. The good Lord willing, that is. For Lou Martin and the gang, this is Jack McKenna wishing you all good trick and treats tonight.
Say, McCorkle, what are you going as tonight?
I'm taking a lantern with me. Get it? That makes me Jack O'Lantern.
Give me strength.
And my joke was ever bad.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1948, an original production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Fahrig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Other performances by Paul Guggenheimer, Tom Martinson, Don Hansen, John Munson. All events reported on Radio Superior 1948 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.